Chapter 15.
Walden looked up from his phone as a nurse wheeled Oshiro back into his bed space at Three Rivers Medical Center's ER. It was strange to see someone like Oshiro diminished to a mere patient, dressed in a flimsy gown, one arm bandaged, and in a sling matching Walden's. Walden averted his gaze from the sight of Oshiro's hairy legs as the nurse helped him climb back onto the bed. Not because he knew the deputy marshal would be embarrassed by being half-naked. Oshiro couldn't care less about modesty, and neither did Walden. But because he knew his friend would hate him seeing how vulnerable and weak Oshiro was right now.
Two cracked ribs,
the nurse announced gleefully. The doctor wants to watch him overnight.
We'll get the antibiotics for his arm started down here, and they can finish them upstairs once we have a room ready.
Oshiro pressed the control to raise his head off his bed. He was taking short, shallow breaths, and his usually tan face was pale with the pain.
Tell him thanks, but no thanks. I'm going home.
She frowned down at him, giving him one of those looks that nurses and priests took special classes to master. That obey me or suffer the consequences look. Walden hid his smile as he watched Oshiro muster the strength to counter with his own patented, obey me or I'll blow you away, mofucker, glare. Neither backed down, but a page overhead caught the nurse's attention.
I'll let the doctor know. It might mean signing out against medical advice.
Whatever.
Fine. I'll send in the nursing student to restart your IV. She turned to leave, but looked back over her shoulder. It's her first day, and she needs the practice. The privacy curtain rattled shut behind her, and she was gone.
Give me my pants back, Oshiro ordered. No way are they going to turn me into a human pincushion.
You didn't see the mess that bullet made of your arm?
Walden said. It was a through-and-through wound, the best kind. But the bullet track had been filled with pieces of Oshiro's clothing and dead flesh that the doctor had picked out and flushed clean.
Trust me, you want as many antibiotics as you can get.
Oshiro turned his head to look at his right arm wrapped in a bulky bandage and winced with even that slight movement.
Maybe some pain meds as well, Walden suggested.
No, I need to keep my head clear. Bad enough they gave me that stuff while they were cleaning my arm.
Whatever they'd given Oshiro, they must have under-calculated because it wore off all at once with him jerking away, fists up, ready to fight, pulling out his original IV. Walden had been glad they hadn't tried to give him any of the same medicine. His doctors had used a local anesthetic on the gash in his scalp, which now sprouted an assortment of surgical staples. And his broken collarbone hadn't needed anything more than a special figure-eight wrap and a sling he intended to ditch as soon as they got out of here.
Where are June and Seth? Oshiro asked.
Safe. With Lucy. She's keeping their location off the radar. Taylor's worried his guy has a way to compromise cell phones.
Seth ditched their SIM cards before they headed here yesterday. Swapped them for prepaid ones. Untraceable.
Taylor wants to analyze them, but he thinks that's how they were tracked from D.C., worried about some new kind of remote hack that doesn't rely on SIM cards.
Shit. Oshiro practically whistled the syllable as the implications for law enforcement sank in. If Taylor was right, then almost every phone would be open for hackers to scrounge around in, accessing private financial data, using the cameras to grab intimate photos or videos, recording sensitive calls. Privacy would cease to exist anywhere within range of an affected phone.
Why didn't they drive up with the guys from the protective detail you set them up with?
Seth didn't trust that they hadn't been made. Figured if they stayed behind, acted like business as usual, it would give him and June room to escape without detection.
Oshiro frowned.
Those guys were the best, Walden. They're who I'd call if it was my family, but this guy beat them.
I know. Lucy has it covered.
No, you should go. Don't waste your time here. Go help June.
Walden scrutinized his usually inscrutable friend. It wasn't like Oshiro to get so emotionally involved.
How did Seth pay for that security team? Even though they've won all those judgments, it's not like any of the defendants have actually paid out yet.
Oshiro looked away.
You pay for them yourself.
He looked back, defiant.
I live alone, work 16-hour days. What else do I have to spend my money on? A new vest, for one thing, Walden said. You really care about her, don't you?
Oshiro's glower was dark and threatening. Walden backed off an obviously sensitive subject.
Seth told you. Did he make you promise?
You too?
Walden noted.
Said he's dying. Was supposed to be dead already, according to the doctors. And we have to look after June and the baby once he's gone.
Oshiro's tone was solemn. I gave him my word.
Me too.
They sat in silence for a few minutes when Walden's phone rang.
Lucy, what's up?
How's Oshiro?
Fine. Ornery as ever. Docs want to keep him overnight, but he's saying no.
And you? Did they fix your shoulder?
X-rays showed it's a broken collarbone. I can't do much with my left arm, but other than that, I'm fine. Where are you? I can head right out if you want.
What about the crack on your skull you took? Don't the doctors want to watch you as well?
Yes, but he wasn't going to tell her that. You know me. Skull's hard as a rock.
I'm fine, ready to get back to work. She made a noise that said she was skeptical. I'm building a geographic profile, and Seth told me you had some data points to add. Said there were more victims and burial sites. Her tone was neutral, lacking her usual warmth. For Lucy, that said a lot.
I would have told you sooner, but I had the techs analyze those locations and the timeline every which way but Thursday. You can't imagine how frustrating it was to know we figured out this guy's pattern just months after he grabbed the last kid.
He blew out his breath and regretted it as pain shot through his shoulder and radiated up to his neck and skull.
I'm telling you, there's nothing there. This guy must have the resources to pick up stakes every few years and the savvy to cover his tracks.
That last girl, Missy Barstow? She must still be alive. She's young enough.
That he wouldn't have traded her in for a younger model, he said bitterly. Christ, Lucy, this guy.
He didn't finish. He had no words adequate for the vile evil this guy embodied. Give me the dates and places. Let me take another look. Lucy's approach differed from what the analysts at Quantico's NCAVC did. She combined geographic information with behavior, psychology, and, according to several of the cybertechs, voodoo, to narrow her search. Even she couldn't explain it totally, but no one could argue with her results. She netted one of the country's most notorious serial killers, as well as tracking other predators. Walden was silent, not because he disagreed with her, but because he was busy cursing himself. He'd been working this case alone for so long that he hadn't even thought to bring Lucy on board before now. He'd let his stubborn pride blind him. He'd wanted to be the one to capture Daddy. Foolish, arrogant idiot. He might have cost a little kid her life.
Do it, Oshiro said. Lucy's the best tracker I've ever worked with.
High praise indeed coming from Oshiro. Also something he'd never say if he wasn't under the influence of strong drugs. Still, he was right.
Got a pen and paper?
He gave Lucy the data. No need to check his files. He had it memorized. Thought about those poor kids all the time. We're sure it's Daddy, not some other predator?
No, but the BAU guy said it would fit his profile.
We don't know enough about him to build a profile, she said. Lucy was not a big fan of the BAU profiles, he knew. They'd led her astray too many times by being either too vague or too specific.
But the timeline and locations fit.
It has to be him, Walden argued. Besides, what else do we have to go on?
She made a small noise of agreement. So we have an adult female with an infant and two toddlers taken? But no adult bodies, just the two girls?
My thought was he gets rid of the women as soon as he no longer needs them to care for the babies. Worried about the risk, so changed to grabbing toddlers instead.
They never surfaced? June's mother and the woman he grabbed the day he abandoned her at the mall?
No. But the girls, he leaves them where they'll be found. They're washed, no trace evidence at all, wrapped in plastic, not a tarp, more like shrink wrap, like they're dolls or something. Remote locations with no cameras, then anonymous calls, untraceable, to 911.
He cares about what happens to them.
Warped as it sounds? Yeah.
He rubbed his temple. He'd been doing this for too damn long if these scumbags were starting to make sense to him. Maybe it was a good thing he was moving to the bank squad. Time for a transfer to a desk. After he caught this son of a bitch.
Lucy finished plotting the other points Walden gave her. Locations where women and children were stolen. Locations where the girls' bodies were found. She added a timeline on a sheet of parchment paper as well. Tracing the locations over time, they formed a definite spiral. A bit zigzagged, but that was to be expected. People liked to think they could be truly random, but in reality, their habits always imposed order onto the chaos.
There's one more point, if it helps, Seth said.
He'd watched her in silence, drinking his coffee, and Lucy had almost forgotten he was there.
What's that?
Washington, D.C., 5 months ago.
His tone held more bitterness than the dark brew in his mug. Lucy glanced up.
What happened 5 months ago?
That's the day I met him. June's daddy.
He set the mug down. It rattled against the tabletop, his hand shook so bad. But his voice was steady, as was his gaze.
That's the day he killed me.